Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne.
A lyrical analysis of Kanye West and Favio and Alicia Keys and Playboy Cardi.
My name's Chris Lambert.
And my name's Travis Bean. And what do you think? Is that a new potential intro we can do every time?
I think it flows really well. Mm. I say go for it.
It really limits the songs we can talk about. yes. But like you said, it's a great intro. Like, you kind of have to run with it.
You know, it shows that we're not just talking about Ye 24/7, which... Yeah. Sometimes we get accused of, you know, but we're talking about Ye, Favio, Alicia Keys, Playboy Cardi, C.
Yeah.
We're diverse.
It'll be nice to not only dick ride for Kanye, but for three other people as well. That's for all the Twitter users out there who knows what that's about.
Yeah.
God, I don't even want to go into that topic, actually. I'm sad I brought it up.
Yeah, it's some inside baseball. Okay.
No, but we're talking about City of Gods.
Yeah, which a little late. The song came out when? Like February something or other.
Yeah. I don't know why we were so late, and I thought maybe we would even wait on it because City of Gods is on Donda 2, maybe, but like who knows when Donda 2 is gonna be out, so we better just talk about the song now.
Yeah, I mean we usually talk about the single or like features as they release, just, you know, it's worth doing a little bit of episode on, a little bit of coverage mm-hmm. of, but it was surprising when this ended up making the Donda 2 track list because as we talked about in our like Donda 2 Miami version podcast, you were saying like Ye in this verse says that it's the feature of the year. But if it's on his album, does that mean he's a feature on his own album? And does he now have the best feature on his own album?
He has the best feature. Like, because people always argue, like, what's the best feature in a Kanye album? Is it Rick Ross? Is it Jay-Z? Is it Nicki Minaj? No, it's Kanye. Like, he's finally won the battle. It's the most Kanye thing he could have possibly done.
1,000%.
I love it.
1,000%. Yeah, so we'll see if this ends up actually being on Donda 2, which... I would feel like, I don't know if I should care anyway about it, but it seems like it could be a huge song for Favio, right? Mm. And for it to be on his album is fantastic, but his album isn't out yet.
Right.
So it's the kind of thing, like, if Donda 2 drops tomorrow, does this kind of steal a little bit of the thunder from the lead single of Favio's album?
Yeah, that's a good way to think of it. I would think if it's on Donda 2, like, maybe it's a different... version. I don't know if it would have like new verses or anything. Maybe it would just sound different. But yeah, I do like that about this song. Like, it, even though it sounds like Off the Grid, which is a Kanye song, it feels more like a Favio song. If it was big and it was a big New York song, like, you know, Empire State of Mind, like Jay-Z, like that's a huge moment for Favio. And like, I don't know. I've just been like rooting for Favio ever since the Donda 2 show. Like, he's just jumping around, like yelling his lines, even though everything's like out of sync. And he's just like having a good time. Like, you could tell this moment's huge for him to be working this closely with Kanye. And he has a lot of Kanye energy in this song. So, yeah, to me, this is just Favio's song. And if Kanye wants to slap it on the end of Donda 2 just to promote Favio, like, hey, more power to him.
Right. But. Yeah, he just makes it like song one on his album.
And changes feature of the year to, I don't know, Favio had the feature of the year or something like that. Like, makes it his song.
Yeah, just like, I am establishing dominance here. But City of Gods, I don't know. Did you have an initial reaction to it? Okay, so it dropped on February 11th, which was the day that I met Ye.
Oh, wow. So it's this is a special song for you in a way.
A little momentous, you know? A little momentous. I remember I was in Los Angeles and just like ended up, we were at a friend's place and just being like, hey, wait, I need 4 minutes. I'll be right back. And just like went and put my headphones on and listened to it real fast. Yeah. And was just like, cool. And then went about the rest of my day.
Yeah. I did a reaction video when it came out on YouTube. So people, if they really want to see my initial reaction, they can go see it. But I think when I first listened to it, like, all right, I just to preface everything, I really do like this song a lot and I'm excited to talk about it. I will say that when I first started listening to it, and maybe this is why I'm saying it's not really a Kanye song, because I like pretty much every single Kanye song, like from the get-go. This kind of song isn't always my favorite. Like Alicia Keys is like undoubtedly talented. And both Fabio and Kanye have great verses. But it's one of those songs that's like mostly rapping. I know that sounds bad for somebody who's hosting like a hip hop themed content podcast, but I like a lot of the nuance and playfulness of Kanye songs, and that isn't so much dominated by just the rapping and kind of like this yelling anthemic choruses, you know. There are just elements on the surface that I'm like, when I first listened to it, like maybe I'm not super into, but the more I listen to it and the more I dig into the lyrics, the more I realize that it's actually a really deep song and it's doing quite a bit. So initial reaction was so, but over time I've grown to really love it, and now I'm shouting alongside Alicia Keys the entire time.
When to put some of what you're saying in context of like the rapping isn't the thing that always like sells you on the song, it's like Lost in the World is often like your number one Kanye song, right? Which
right,
like you like the rapping portions, but you like that it's has these other aspects to it that go right beyond just the verse. Right, where something like Off the Grid wasn't your favorite song on Donda, you would put something like Remote Control, like that's doing a bit more of what's interesting to you.
Yeah, it's sorry, I kind of missed a little bit of what you just said because I have several tabs pulled up on my computer and the Chainsmoker song New York City just started playing really loudly. Which I don't know, but so wait, what were you saying about Remote Control? Sorry.
That like Off the Grid isn't one of your favorite tracks on Donda. Oh, because yeah, a lot of what that song's doing is just in the power of the verses.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
something like Remote Control doesn't necessarily have like the power of the verses.
Right.
It's like all these other aspects that kind of appeal to you.
So I'm mostly speaking of these songs like sonically and just like kind of a gut reaction to them. But you know what we do in the show, we do lyrical analysis, we dig in, like there's a lot more to dig into if a song like Off the Grid, and I did grow to love it after we talked about it. So as I spent more time with City of Gods, like I kind of realized the nuances of it and the depth and just how kind of like loving and vulnerable the song is. Like all together, it brings out a really powerful, positive message, I think, about like self-empowerment and finding your place in this world and how you motivate people. It's cool everything it's doing.
You talk about the vulnerability, right? It's like you look at the chorus of Run This Town. Wow.
Run This Town. That's a great song, and I'd love to talk about it.
That is not the song that I wanted. Empire State of Mind, yeah, right? Which is what City of Gods is most commonly compared to. Mm-hmm. And it's like you look at the chorus of that and it's in New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do. Now you're in New York. These streets will make you feel brand new. Big lights will inspire you. Let's hear it for New York, right? It's very aspirational, inspirational. It's uplifting, aggrandizing, kind of idealistic. Mm. And then you compare that to New York City, Please Go Easy on Me Tonight. Like, please go easy on this heart of mine because I'm losing my lover to the arms of another. Please go easy on me. And that really is getting at that kind of vulnerability, right? So both are like anthems about the city.
Right.
But in that Jay-Z vein, the one is very much like, let's be awesome. Right. Let's like
yeah, right.
be the best. Let's like be inspired. There's just that kind of we can do anything mindset that it feels so kind of at the core of Jay-Z's discography.
Right.
And brand as a rapper, where yeah, Please Go Easy on Me Tonight is getting at this vulnerability, this emotional like component to things.
Right.
And kind of summarizes where Ye's at right now with
weirdly,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. He's losing like Kim to someone else. I mean, yeah. He had already like technically she had divorced him before dating someone else, but he's still going through that emotion of like, yeah, I'm dealing with my ex-wife dating someone for the first time and it's weighing on me, and I could use like the city, the world, like showing some compassion in that way.
Yeah. It's great because I mean, Alicia Keys part is like, it's so openly vulnerable. Like it's not hiding it at all. And because it's so open like that, it becomes an integral part of the song, and you can't help but shake those words as you're listening to the Five Yo's verse, which is going kind of hard and is a bit antagonistic, but ultimately like hopeful to accomplish something like these other living legends from New York have, like Biggie and, well, I guess people like Jay and Nas, and then legends who have passed on like Pop and Biggie, like taking on like the helm and like, and being that kind of force in New York City. The whole time I'm thinking like, well, I'm thinking of Alicia Keys' chorus and like how she's calling for love and like asking for people to understand like how that can be mixed in with this like greater plight. And then you have Kanye coming in and expanding it a bit and talking about how like he is constantly self-empowered. Like he infuses himself into everything he does. Like, he's boasting his ego and his presence. And then again, how that call for love mixes in with that. Like the whole song becomes this like rounded call for just like understand who I am, who I want to be. And at the same time, I'm recognizing others and like how I can be a force to them. Like it's this resounding call for love. It presented in a way that's maybe not obvious when you first listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see some people just feeling like there's too much contrast between the two. Like, oh, like, Please Go Easy on Me. Like, this is a vulnerable, emotional, like, heartbreak song. I want to see that reflected in the verses in some way. And you right. don't necessarily get that. Where, like, the verses on Empire State of Mind fit in with the chorus. So it feels right. like, it feels very of one. But I think, as you're saying, there's this, like, the tension between what the verses are saying and how they're expressing it versus the chorus kind of creates this dynamic quality between the two that allows you to kind of fill the distance between
right.
with some thoughts, with some other emotions, and start to look at it as a little more than just like, we're the best, but also yeah. there's this like request, there's this awareness of what's going on.
Yeah, I think that contrast, as you're saying, is really key because while it is this call for love and like it's ultimately a positive song, I think, and what it's like yearning for, it's also kind of a realistic song because when you listen to Alicia Keys' choruses, like at the very beginning, it's piano heavy, like it's fully her. And then by the time she comes back in after Favio is introduced, her voice is really buried. Like you can't hear the piano anymore. There are these really chaotic synths happening. And that call for love feels a little lost and a little more hopeless. Like I'm losing my lover to the arms of another. And it isn't until the very end that the piano is coming back in. And it's like, she's got that full voice again. And this call for like, please go easy on me. Like this hopefulness that you can finally get there. There is a musical journey on this song that it reveals like a heaviness to everything being discussed. So it isn't just this lovey-dovey like, oh, like, please love me. It's this, I think it's just real in that way. Like sometimes you don't feel loved. Sometimes you feel alone, especially in a place like New York City where there are like 10 million people. It's tough to make it in this world, you know?
Yeah, it's getting that dynamic of the, like, the I am going to make it, but then also the dynamic of the I feel lonely sometimes, like, I need comfort and care.
Yeah.
I really like that range, and that's one of the reasons the song has grown on me. When I first heard it, I did have kind of a, my reaction was just like, okay, like,
yeah,
instead of being as like, oh my goodness, I need to come back to this.
Yeah,
it did seem like it had a little more of like off the grid pop version, like off the grid light in some ways, which I feel is kind of a reductive way of putting it, but right. You have a similar beat, which is the drill production, right? To Off the Grid, and of course with Favio and Ye and Cardi all being involved, it does feel very off the grid in that way. But like Favio's verse is different, even if like maybe sometimes the flow can be the same for both Ye and Favio.
Yeah.
There's entirely different content and entirely different lyrical focus between the two tracks, which as I've been listening to City of Gods, I've been appreciating more and the ways in which it does differentiate itself from Off the Grid. So I've been appreciating that, though the other comparison that this song has had for me, and we discussed this a little bit off the air yesterday, is off, wow, excuse me, is Liftoff. It reminds me of Liftoff. And you weren't really...
I still do not agree with that.
Yeah, you don't agree with that. And to me, the reason it reminds me of Liftoff is because you have Alicia Keys and Beyonce in similar roles of being these like powerhouse vocalists that are delivering these like huge vocals to the song. And that the vocals do kind of... they're anthemic in that way of they have their kind of like subject matter focus and repeat it almost verbatim each time you're getting that chorus, and that the song is chorus heavy, right? Within the first 30 seconds, you get Alicia Keys doing that chorus twice. And within the first like 2 minutes of the song, you've had the chorus hitting three times.
I would say that's normal with most songs.
Yes. Three times in the first like minute 30.
Yeah,
maybe
not most songs, but plenty of songs.
Yeah, but it's something I guess with just like how the energy of the vocals, like it's something that they kind of feel elongated, like the chorus kind of dominates in some ways as well.
Okay.
Though Favio's verse being as long as it is, and that's a major difference to me. Like my main complaint about Liftoff is the...
it's well documented.
Yeah, the huge disparity in time that Beyonce's chorus gets versus the verses. So it's like Ye's first verse, I think, is like 15 seconds or something. And or like less than that, maybe.
Yeah,
and then you get his bridge and you get maybe 30 seconds. And then Jay's verse is really short as well. I think it's like 16 seconds. So in total, you have something like 35 seconds worth of content from Jay-Z and Ye, or like 40 seconds worth of content from Jay-Z and Ye, and 3 minutes worth of content from Beyonce.
I love that this episode has just turned into Liftoff battle. You always find a way.
I find a way. Well, and this was one of my struggles initially with the song was that I was thinking about it in terms of Liftoff, because it's the first song in a while, especially in like Ye's discography, where I was just like, Liftoff, this reminds me of Liftoff. But that main difference of like Favio's verse being as long as it is, and then Ye's verse being like as long as it is, that's what's missing from Liftoff for me. Like if Ye was delivering this like great verse on that song that has some depth to it or some length to it, I'd be okay with the fact that we have so many of the Beyonce choruses repeating. And then that's the other big change. In Liftoff, it's the same chorus every time. But here, you do get a bit of difference, right? Like the first chorus from Alicia is just like, New York City, please go easy on me. Like tonight, please go easy on this heart of mine. And the second time we get, because I'm losing my lover to the arms of another. Just that little bit of extension Then the third time repeats that. And then the last time we get it, you have that whole breakdown that she delivers. And there's a different vocal like performance of the chorus where you never get that on Liftoff. It's just like copy and paste three or four times, which infuriates me.
I can't believe this is what the episode's turned into. I guess I should have suspected it. I mean, that's obviously that's the way a lot is coming out here about how you feel about Liftoff.
Yes.
I don't know. It's hard to say like what I disagree with because I think I just disagree on a macro level. Like to me, they are just completely different songs. Liftoff is like, it's a hype song. You hear that chorus over and over because like they're about to take the fuck off. There's going to be a countdown and a rocket's going to launch.
Except and, they like, canceled the countdown because they've run out of fuel.
Beyonce's chorus is like very pop oriented while Alicia Keys is like, it's like a ballad and her and Alicia Keys' voice gets buried purposely. Like Beyonce's voice goes through the roof purposely. Like it's, I guess I just think the songs are doing very different things. Comparing Alicia Keys and Beyonce doesn't make sense to me on like a fundamental level, especially as you said, because Kanye and Fabio are rapping for a really long time and Jay and Kanye are not purposely, because the song's meant to be doing something specific and not have a long verse of lots of ideas conveyed. So I guess that's in a short condensed snippet, that's my general reaction to everything you said. Not that that's the purpose and focus of this episode at all,
but one day it will be, and it'll be a titanic battle of much debate.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mild würzig, je 150 Gramm Packung, nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken, mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
I'd like to go back in time to about probably 10 minutes ago when we were talking about the song and address what you said about how Kanye and Fabio's verses are really different in terms of their like subject matter, which I
from
I
off
really,
the grid.
What about off the grid?
That's what I meant. Like their subject matter is very different.
Oh, yeah, right.
In comparison to their verses on off the grid.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right about that. Well, I did want to talk a little bit about just like what Fabio's doing on his part and then what Kanye's doing on his part, because I really like that. Like this is sampling or interpolating that song by the Chainsmokers, and that chorus is sung by Victoria Zora. Is that her name? God, it's a badass name.
I don't know anything about the Chainsmokers.
I don't either. I listened to the song and I actually really love her voice. I do not like where the Chainsmokers come in. I don't really like, I guess I just don't like that kind of clubby music or whatever. I don't know what you'd call it. But it sounds great. But in that song, like there's not a lot. There's not like there are a lot of lyrics. It's a very like slice of life, simple song and about somebody who's just experiencing heartache and they've lost this person to the arms of somebody else and how that kind of loneliness can feel gargantuan in a city with that many people, and how you could look around and like hope you don't see that face of that person amongst these people. It's an interesting song. It's not doing a ton lyrically, but I like how the Fabio song really expands upon it and really gives more definition to like what a city is or what the city represents, especially the city he's from and the kind of like repping for. It's like this song's not just about New York City, but the space you reside in. It's the place where like your heroes made music and where your friends have died. You have a lot to live up to. And you have this kinship with that space that is like having a kinship with yourself. It's like, it's in this space you can focus on what you value, surround yourself with the right people and push past anything. And in the end, you can become somebody that motivates people. But the song is also about like the struggle of doing that and how hard that is and how many people are in your way and how tough it can be when, you know, Alicia Keys' chorus again, like the vulnerability that comes in, like how you can feel lost or betrayed, or that you've like you've lost that sense of kinship. And then Kanye comes in and is kind of like the Keen of his space. Like he's the antithesis a little bit, where he's like showing Five-Yo the way. Like he's recounting like the past and saying like, I go back to college, do an album, then drop out again. He's like, this is how I did it. It fucking worked. And I would do it again that way. You know, it's cool how they contrast each other in that way. Like it's Five-Yo starting to feel like a little mini Ye.
he is on his like come up, right? Like,
yeah.
And he's talking about like this is his city now. Like, I mean, that's his initial thesis statement, right?
Yeah.
Like Pop was the king of New York. Now I'm the guy in charge. Like, so he's laying this out here, but also defining in a lot of ways of what the city is, the dangers of it, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows. And then having that line near the end of like, you will not survive being too soft, also puts into context that like, New York City, please go easy on me tonight. Because as much as like you have that energy of like, I'm the tough person, I can do this thing, there's still that degree of like opposite to where sometimes you do just need,
yeah,
you right. need a break. And you can also hear it as like the voice of somebody that can't keep up with like Five-Yo and can't run with the rest of everybody else and be part of this lifestyle. Like it's not for everyone. And those are the people that are also saying like, please go easy on me. Mm-hmm. So it like maybe in a little bit of contrast to our earlier discussion about what that means, the vulnerability it brings in the chorus. Mm-hmm. There's also something to be said about how you don't have Ye and Five-Yo kind of, they're embodying the opposite of that. Like they don't need the city to go easy on them because like they can live up to the like expectations of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and on top of that, like I also like that Kanye, he's bringing in stuff like they ain't do 4 years in college, but they do 25 to life, like kind of recognizing the sad reality of what this city or this world is like for most people. I think that's a cool thing the song does, is like using New York City as the setting. I mean, New York City is the world, like it's the land of opportunity. So many different kinds of people are there. Like being in this one space, it's not like being from Bloomington, Illinois, like I was, or where are you from? Canton?
Canal Fulton, Travis.
Canal Fulton. How dare I? Like New York City represents like everybody that can be in this world, like all coming together and living in one spot. And so it becomes this sort of encapsulation of just making it in general. And there's a lot of crime and there's a lot of disparity and struggle in New York City, and being able to make it there, like that's tough. And Kanye's like recognizing that and bringing in just like how tough it can be, and again giving weight to like what Alicia Keys is talking about, like everything is so fucking hard, and the song is just trying to like show you that like, you know, there are other people like you, like you can do it. Like it's like kind of the undertone of the song without being overtly that, which I like.
When that like specific line also comes with like characterizing the drillers, the shooters, which you have the duality there of I'm with the drillers that come with the night, the drillers being slang for shooters.
Right.
So it's like, I'm with these shooters that come with the night, which is like a hard line. But also like, I'm with the drill artists, right? It was, since this is a drill song, he's with Five-Yo. So you have a little bit of that Donda-esque duality to the line of like associating with street life,
right,
but also recontextualizing street life into something about music. And then you get that with, they ain't do 4 years in college, but they'll do 25 to life, which is kind of like, yeah, these guys, like, they're not about the academic. They'll go, like, they don't have the patience for school, but they have the patience for, like, doing time, because they're those kinds of guys. Like, they don't need the city to go easy on them. Like, the city needs them to go easy on it, kind of thing. So you do have that, like, degree of duality, right? It's establishing this sense of toughness while also getting into this idea of like, yeah, there are kids that like won't go to college, but they're more comfortable with going to jail. And what does that say?
Yeah. It's like Kanye's God, this is just going to make it seem like we're Kanye dick writing again, but like the song in a way feels like Kanye just like giving advice on how to make it, cuz like Kanye has faced so much adversity. Like he talks about like Michael, when you black and you rich, they send you a psycho, it's a cycle. Like kind of recognizing how hard it is to make it as like a large influential black figure, but also just like the everyman, just like the black community in general, and like how it can feel like the world doesn't love you. It happens on like both ends. So he's talking to like both 5EO, the person who's trying to make it big, and just like anybody else who's struggling. Again, I like that contrast. I like that that the scope of this song is bigger than it seems.
Yeah, and the lines in question, it's that they act like they love you, they don't even like you, they throw a party, won't even invite you. I seen the same thing happen to Michael. When you black and you rich, they say and you psycho, it's like a cycle. And yeah, that's the specific things, right? If you're following Ye, you know that that's getting into him not being invited to Chicago's birthday party and all the drama there.
Yeah.
But then also getting into this larger thing of you have a lot of fake people in this world and you do get ostracized. We saw what happened to Michael Jackson, and you see that there are a lot of like black celebrities or black achievers that have this cycle of being loved universally and then being torn down in the media by the public, and all of a sudden all the love is gone and what's left is like a path to tragedy.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that Ye is like fighting really hard right now, is clearing the way out from the path of tragedy that everybody wants him to walk.
Yeah. So that is cool. Like everything you're pointing out, the song is so personal in so many ways, like specifically talking about the North's birthday party and the way SNL treats you.
Chicago's birthday party.
Or yeah, Chicago. And then just on a broader scale, like recognizing violence in the community and people who stand in your way. It's got a nice contrast in that way too, where you can see how it applies to the people speaking, but also just on a broader scale to anybody who feels this way.
Mm-hmm. And then you get the nice, like, I wanted to shout out like the opening lines, like, we went off the grid, we ain't watched a throne, we took it, we went viral on them, they looking. So like you get a nice off the grid reference at the very beginning, then the watch the throne shout out in a way, but to saying us. Like we ain't, yeah, he's calling us out, we ain't watched a throne, like it's a diss, right? He's dissing us.
Well, yeah, but I consider that an honor.
Yeah. So we ain't watched the throne. We took it. Like, yeah, we didn't sit around, which kind of echoes what you were saying earlier about like Favio kind of being this like prince figure and Ye being the king figure, mm-hmm. right? Where Favio's kind of establishing himself and Ye's just like, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
So you have Favio at the beginning saying, now I'm the guy in charge, and Ye kind of in that parallel construction saying, we took the throne, like we're yeah. at the top. And then we went viral on them, they looking. We got viral at the beginning of Off the Grid as well, and it's just something that Favio says a lot. There's even a song on his new album called Going Viral.
Right.
And then coming all the way back around to the very end of the verse where he's just like, Favio is viral and this is the Bible, which makes it even more fitting that this shouldn't be on Donda 2 as basic instructions before leaving Earth, of aka Bible, is the title of 5EO's album.
Yeah, right. But still probably wouldn't stop Kanye.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I guess it still gets like everybody paid, right? Having the song on two albums.
Yeah. Yeah, what was the line I was going to point out? Oh, I mean, he does say, you got an album, postpone it. I dropped two and they both go in. Does this confirm Donda 2? Like, you can't say that and then not release it.
I mean, yeah, it seems to be saying like Donda 2 is a thing that's happening and like they both go in. So I wonder if this was made with the idea that Donda 2 would already be out at that point and be successful. though here we are March 3rd and Donda 2 is kind of out, it's still doing numbers. And you also have Wanye Kest, who I kept calling Wayne Kest.
He did.
You know, charting for their fake version of Donda 2.
Yeah.
I think they got as high as like 14 on the iTunes hip hop charts.
That's wild. I did not know that.
Yeah. They were at least as high as like 21.
That must have gotten taken down, right?
I think shortly after I made the video, somebody commented that it was gone.
Oh, I thought you were saying your video is what caused it to get taken down.
I mean, I like to think so.
I do too.
Wait, let me look. Wayne or Wanye. Oh my
Let's
God.
Let's upload our own version that's from the artist Wayne Kest.
Yo, you've heard about Wanye. Well, let's talk about Wayne. So if you search Wanye Kest now, you get a bunch of songs from Wanye Kest, but there's no Donda 2 anymore. And then at the very bottom under podcast episodes, there's Donda 2 by Wanye. No, I did write Wayne Kest at the beginning too.
Oh, yeah. What? Oh, shoot. I meant to fix that. Whoops.
So, yeah, it's not fixed in the podcast episode.
Yeah, whoops. I could do that.
Did you fix it on YouTube then?
I did. I assumed you wanted me to.
Yeah, because I saw it after I saw the comments and I was like, oh, well, I typed Wanye. So maybe I understood. But no, you swooped in like the guardian angel that you are.
I saw it. I didn't even realize that you mistyped it at first. I saw a couple comments and I was like, oh, and then I realized it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But yeah. So do you have a favorite line from the song?
What is my favorite line from the song? I think I actually really like I'm gonna turn your life to a meme, let Justin LaBoy post it. I just
talking
find
to
that
Pete Davidson there.
I wondered, especially after the Easy video came out. It's just like he really is like turning Pete's life into a meme.
Yeah.
But there's something so like self-aware and funny about that. Like he knows what Justin LaBoy's reputation is, and it's just like, yeah, I'm gonna turn your life into a meme. Let Justin LaBoy post it. In some ways, that's like 21st century, that's like one of the worst things you could do to someone. Yeah. Is just turn them into a meme.
Oof, I hope it never happens to me.
Hate to tell you this, Travis.
Oh God. Yeah, I think my favorite line is probably, I just love the whole mask thing with Kanye. So I'm so focused throwing a mask, no COVID. Like, I just think that's like, I mean, it's a great play on the like, no, like whatever insert after. But it's funny that he's like talking about wearing a mask and he's not just doing it because of COVID. Like, I'm putting on this mask for like my own reason. Like, I'm staying focused. I'm like kind of like removing myself, my name, my ego in a way. And just like, I'm kind of a bare human being now. Like, I'm focused. I just like love the energy and connotations there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And do you have a favorite Favio line?
Yeah, I was looking. I mean, the whole verse is great. Probably towards the end when he's saying like Millie Rock, Smoothie Dan, like Smoney Dan. What is it?
Shmoney.
Shmoney. Duh. Shmoney. I'm just like reading it instead of like hearing it. Woo walk. His flow there is fucking sick. The guy's talented.
Yeah, as he gets into that, like especially that change from like the beginning that's more of that like off the grid flow to then like kind of breaking it down near the end and slowing it down.
Yeah.
I think that transition's definitely my favorite like portion of the song.
Yeah.
It's cool. I just like the declaration, like if you chill with the ops, we is not vibing. It makes me think of the referencing SNL. There's that Kyle Mooney sketch on SNL where he pretends to be like Baby Yoda, but just like a egomaniacal, like off-screen celebrity Baby Yoda. So it'd be like if Baby Yoda just was like, you know, he's like, yeah, I like to party, I like to like do all these things. He's like, I need to say, like, Baby Groot, we are not friends. Like, I don't know you like that. And just like him saying "we are not friends" to Baby Groot, whenever I hear like "we is not vibing," I just think of Kyle Mooney, Baby Yoda saying "we're not friends."
Yeah. So now when you think of Five-Yo, you think of Baby Yoda.
Yeah, essentially that's what I'm saying.
I get it. And then if I had to pick, this one's tougher for me, but my favorite line from Playboi Carti is probably when he's like, "what?"
You know, I was going to ask favorite Alicia Keys line as kind of like the punchline, but you taking it to Playboi Carti is like the better punchline.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Alicia Keys line?
Probably, God, I got to really think about this one. I don't know. It's really hard for me to pick one. So I'm just going to say like everything she says is great.
Okay.
Please go easy on me. I guess ending with that, like that one's, it's just a great ending. Like it's a real great cap and everything because her voice is buried in that outro and like very echoey and strange. But then the final line is like fully clear and the piano's back, like just like it is at the beginning. It's a great moment.
Yeah, that last line really is just the buildup to it, the delivery of it. I do like, too, that Carti at the end is just, like, ad-libbing what the fuck.
Yeah. The part where Alicia Keys and Playboi Carti are mixed, I think that's the only time this happens on the song? I think it is. Which, again, gives those lines a lot more weight and can make them feel, like, more hopeless and intimidating. Got as I like keep describing the song, it makes the song sound tragic and hopeless, but I kind of like that those elements are all there, because sometimes when something is more like that, like the more optimistic it ends up being, at least like when I start to think about it and what it's ultimately going for, like just showing how hard life can be, but that there is hope for something better, like that's to me just pure optimism. So that's how I keep reading the song.
Nice. That's a good way of reading the song, Travis.
I gotta find something in this fucked up world, man.
Hope. A little ray of hope. Okay. Anything else?
No. Look at that. A nice, short, condensed lyrical analysis.
We got it. We're finally becoming professionals.
And we only spent 10 minutes of that talking about Liftoff. It's a record.
I could keep going.
Someday there's going to be a Liftoff episode and the last call is going to be, you're going to be given 10 minutes of uninterrupted time to complain about Liftoff.
I can't wait. Man. Actually, I can, because it's one of those things where like, it'll feel good to talk about it, but then, you know, I'll be so like angry.
Yeah.
The whole time.
It might be the last episode of Watching the Throne.
We save it for then. That's how you know the show's ending, when you see the Liftoff episode appear.
Yeah, we're signing off.
I mean, why have a countdown and then cut it off and say we need fuel?
Everyone, stay wavy.
Keep it loopy. And they ask me, they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. Yeah.